The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Very many, very dry. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, because I will cause breath to enter you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man. Prophesy to the wind. Sorry, I'm getting way ahead of myself. But man, how powerful is that right there? When Jesus was on the boat, they said, what manner of man is this that the wind and the seas obey? But God is speaking to his servant, saying, talk to the wind. Talk to the wind. The same, man, this ain't even in the sermon. It just hit me and I got chills and I got to get rid of them. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens your mortal body. What manner of man is this? He said, son of man, you prophesy to the wind. He said, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, because, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened up your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in their own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord God, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. You can be seated. Thank God you're here today. But man, what a passage. Now, we start out in this passage, Brother Thomas. In verse 1, he says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of dry bones. We can take note here. Sometimes when you are still in the spirit, you can still wind up in the valley. Let me repeat that. You can be in the spirit and still be in the valley. Just because you are born again does not mean that sometimes God will not lead you into a depressed place, into a low place, in a place where you can't see the horizon. As a matter of fact, anytime we read about valleys in the Bible, it's not talking about geography, but it's talking about a state. It was the psalmist that would say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a place of struggle. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of trial. But I'm here to tell you something today. You may be full of the Spirit. You may be in the will of God and still find yourself in the valley. Can I get an amen? It was the disciples that Jesus would bid to get in the boat and go to the other side. The word the King James uses is constrains them. He constrained them. He pushed them. He he pushed them into the boat. They get in the boat to go to the other side. They are in the very wheel of the Savior. And right in the middle of the sea, Dustin, that's where they hit the storm. They didn't even want to get in the boat, but he compelled them to get in that boat. And right in the middle of the will of God, they hit a storm. But I'm here to tell you that the God that brought you to it is the God that can bring you through it. I don't care what your valley is. There's a God that's bigger than your valley. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he is the lily of the valley. And in that struggle, there's a God that cares. Would you clap your hands to him for just a moment? He's so worthy. The valley is symbolic of the low place. It's a place of descent. We sing songs that the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. It's in those valley places where we begin to question. It's not on the mountain that we question. It's in the valley place. It's in that descent. It's in that low time. It's in that time where we can't understand why things aren't working the way they ought to work, and we begin to question. And this is our question oftentimes. I know our human nature. Our question is this: what did I do to wind up here? How have I contributed to my struggle? Where did I get off the path? Where did I go astray? I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes you are right in the will of God and you still find yourself in struggle. The devil moves in every trial we face, and he moves in with condemnation. I remember back in the day, the old saints, if you were sick, if you had problems, they would look at you and say, I remember one time I had a cold, and a guy looked at me and said, "What have you been doing? What kind of sin have you been committing?" I was like, "Man, I've just been breathing. There's germs in the air, and I guess they got in my system. I just been breathing. I didn't know breathing was a sin." But you'd get sick and they'd want to know what kind of sin you was doing. He asked me that, Brother Eddie, several times, and being the kind of person I was, I thought about making up some elaborate stuff. When I was sick, what kind of sin? Well, let me tell you. I started these offshore accounts. And I'm running drugs through a ministry. I mean, what would he do? "Please pray for me, because I think if I quit, this cold will get better." See what the enemy does. The enemy moves in whenever you're in trouble, whenever you're in trial, and you begin to wonder. And the first thing you question is where you stand with God. Why did I get here? How did I get here? I want to set your mind at ease. Ezekiel was in the Spirit. The Spirit picked him up from where he was. The Spirit took him in vision and set him in the valley. It was the Spirit that wanted him there. Because I'm sorry to inform you, Cupcake, it's not all about good gumdrops and everything for you. Sometimes you go down in the valley because somebody else needs you to be there. There is somebody in the gutter that needs you to be there. There is somebody who is in struggle that needs you to be there. The Spirit put him in there. Watch this. When Ezekiel talks about these bones, he says they were very many, and they were very dry. Very dry means this wasn't a recent death. Yeah, there was no flow. It was extremely dry because it wasn't recent. It had been a while. It had been a while. We've heard this preached, Doug, so many different ways. We've heard this preached like this is Israel, and this is Israel being restored. We've heard this end time. But I want to make this applicable to you right now. Because my question when I read that was, I wonder how long they had been dry. To be very dry, how long had they been in that place? I want to present that question to you. If you're here today and your relationship with God is not where it needs to be, I want to ask you this question. How long has it been since you were very dry? How long has it been since there was this separation? How long has there been since that life that you used to feel? Oh, come on. There's sometimes, man, we're on fire for God and the life of God is moving in us and we're flowing in the Spirit. And there's other times when we sit back and wonder, am I even going to make it? Can I get an amen? I want to preach to you today and let you know this. I don't care how dry it is. I don't care where you are. There's a God that has a word for you that when that word is spoken through anointing, it can take whatever you are and turn it around. How long? Restore unto me, the psalmist would say, the joy of thy salvation. There's times, Perry, where every one of us just going through the motions. You ever preach because you had to? You ever preached because you just had to? You ever wanted to tap out and just not do it? Have I ever called you and asked you to preach and you say, man, not now, but you said yes anyway? Why don't you tell me? Tracy, you ever went to a service with me and I had to preach and you had to sing and you didn't want to go? Glad she's honest because I heard it going down the road. There was times when I'd look at the ID and know that they wanted me to come to preach. And Brother Eddie, have you ever been there where you go, not you. Hello? You're not always going to want to. You ever sang a song and didn't want to? Tracy ever drug you somewhere to sing or play and you didn't want to? Why didn't you tell her? Because sometimes it ain't about your flesh. It's about your spirit. But then there's other times. Man, I was sitting in services before, and the pastor would be up. We'd go visit a church, and we went to visit. He would call people to testify. I can remember being ready, sitting there like, man, I'm ready. I am so ready. Waiting, and he didn't call on me, and I got mad. I was ready, and I was like, he didn't call me. Why didn't he call me? Then there's other times like, please do not call me. Don't make eye contact. Don't look at him. You know the difference. Where are you at right now? Are you in the why didn't he call on me? Or are you in the don't make eye contact place? I don't know where you're at, but I know this. There's a word for you. There is a word for you. Verse 6 through 8 says, I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And ye shall know that I am God. So he prophesies. I want you to notice something here. There is a two-stage prophecy going on here. He doesn't just prophesy once, but he prophesies twice. He prophesies once to the dry bones. I don't know if you noticed this or caught this, but on down there he said, these bones are the house of Israel, and they have said. So let me tell you something about dry bones. They can still speak. How do you speak with no life in you? How can the dry bones have a voice when they don't have any life in them? Don't let me take you back to Abel. Abel's blood cried out. Even though he had no life, his blood cried out. These bones had a voice. Watch this. This is so interesting. He said, and I will lay sinews upon you. This is verse 8. Give me verse 8. And flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. There was no breath in him. The structure was right. The bones had came together and formed. It had a form. The sinew, the flesh, the skin, it has a form. The problem is, Dave, there was no life. And what makes me so nervous is I don't want to be a church that has a form but not but denies the power thereof. We have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. You come to church, you look like a Christian, you raise your hand like a Christian. The form is there, the structure is there, the music is right, the preaching says all the right words, but he said there's no breath in them. I'm here to tell you that the breath is what gives life. It's the breath that... We get so concerned about the structure. Got to have it right. We got to get it right. I'm one of the worst. Shane, sorry. They asked me to play the bass today, and I got up there, and the thing sounded like a trash can. The earpiece, it sounds horrible. I'm like, Shane, fix this. Fix that. Fix this, man. We gotta have this right, man. When you do it for God, we gotta be excellent. We can't be like, man, we gotta be able to get this thing right. And all of them was like, man, we're glad you came. That's how we get new stuff up here. Get you to come up and play. We're gonna get some new stuff. I said, this is junk. It's so like, man, I wish he wouldn't even came. I think if you're gonna do something, man, you need to do it. With excellence. If you're going to play, you need to play skillfully. If you're going to sing, you need to sing skillfully. Right? Come on, y'all know my story. I've said it 1,000 times. People get up and sing, they don't know what key they're in. And then people in the congregation say, bless them, Lord. And I'm saying, don't bless them, Lord. They didn't even practice. It's just horrible. Didn't they say the devil's trying to get me? Well, the devil's in my throat. No, you just didn't practice. You don't even know what key you're in. The devil's nowhere near you. If you're going to do it, you got to do it. But here's the issue. Listen to me. This is the good stuff. I'm not getting to the good stuff. This is it. I get so concerned about the structure, and the structure can be just right, but if there's no breath, then we can't accomplish anything. So maybe, instead of being so concerned about the earpiece, I need to have my earpiece and hear the voice of God. Because he that hath an ear, let him hear what the... Spirit, what the breath has to say to the church. Because I'm here to tell you, I've been in church where they didn't practice. I've been in church where it sounded real little rough. I've been in church where they got out of key. But I've been in church where they sang a song and heaven came down and the structure wasn't right, but the breath was there. And when the breath is there, it'll overcome the structure every single time. You may have it, looks like it all together, but give me the wind. Give me the wind. Give me the wind. Give me the spirit. He said, prophesy to them. I want to prophesy to you. Get ready. Because I think we as individuals can make ourselves ready. When the flood was about to come, before it ever got there, he said, go out and dig ditches. There's no water. There's no rain. You're in a drought. And you're digging ditches. Can you imagine? Noah, there's rain coming. Go build a boat. What's a boat? You're getting ready. You're getting the structure ready. Let me tell you this. When God sends a sermon like this, it's because he's ready to expand you. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to be really, really honest. I want you to be completely honest and completely transparent. How many people in here feel like they live more holy than some other people you know that are Christians? None of y'all are being honest. None of y'all are being honest right now. Because you just thought about somebody that you know that's a Christian that you live better than. You used to think that way. I know some people that I'm smoking. That's not arrogant. It's just looking at it and saying, nah. I'm doing way better than you. Now that I've admitted it, does anybody ever thought that way or think that way? Have you ever thought that way? Now leave your hand up if you still think that way sometimes. Look at y'all. Y'all are so holy and kind. Okay, now, yeah. Now, you're being honest. I appreciate the honesty. You look over and you say, yeah. Because there's sometimes you're getting ready for something and they're not. I'm not saying you're beat down. You're not beating them up. You're not looking down on them. You just know you're beating them. John wrote it in the Bible. It is a race. John wrote it in the Bible. And that disciple outran Peter. Now, y'all wouldn't have wrote that. Y'all wouldn't have put that. Y'all be like, I outran him. Y'all be like, no, it was time. He's fine. John's like, I smoked him. So here you are. We're in this. There are times when God's telling you to dig ditches. He's not doing that to make you look good or make you feel like you're outrunning Thomas. He's doing that because he's about to expand you. Are you listening to me? Whenever God calls you to be, let me say it like this. When he calls you to holiness, it's because he's wanting to do something in you. Tell you something about God. He will not dwell in an unclean vessel. So he says, get ready. Dig the ditches. Get ready. Get the structure right. Get all that ready. But the structure's not going to save you because there's another part to this prophecy. Though you get ready, though you dig the ditches, though you build the ark, though all of those things happen and you get ready, getting ready's great. But until the wind blows, Brandon, we're in trouble. So he says, watch this. This is powerful. I want you to get this. Because I want you to try it. I tried it. I'm going to try it more. He said, prophesy to the wind. What? Me? Prophesy to the wind? Me start commanding the wind? There's been times I've tried. Anybody? You ever been trying to put up sheeting where you had a tarp in place to keep you from the rain? And the wind comes. I've talked to the wind. Got this tarp and it starts blowing and you're dry, but then the wind starts blowing. You're like, wind, just stop. I've talked to the wind and you know what? He didn't pay me any attention at all. I think it got worse. There's been times that I've spoke to it. And he's telling this man to speak to the wind, not just any wind, all wind. The four winds from all directions. He's speaking to all the winds. Now we understand that we're talking spiritual here. Amen? So this morning when I was praying, it's like wind blow. I don't care what direction you blow through the preaching, blow through the singing, blow through the offering, just blow. Just blow. The structure is there. The structure is there. But we need the wind. But we need somebody that will speak to the Spirit and let the Spirit know it's okay for you to do your work here. I know we don't have to be invited. I know the Spirit blows where it listens. But I know this. The voice of God will move the Spirit of God for the people of God. Amen. So we're talking and we got the structure. Now we got to get the wind. There's no breath in them. And that is a horror. Listen, I have been in church services where there was no wind. Y'all ain't going to admit that either. I know y'all are so good. I've been in services where it was very many and very dry. I've been in those places. I got a friend of mine, he told me one time, somebody passed away in their service, right in the middle of service, they passed away. He said they called the paramedics. He said when they got there, it took them 45 minutes to figure out which one was dead. He told me, I didn't tell me, he told me. It's his church. So it's okay, man. Y'all gonna go to heaven before us. We know that one, right? The dead in Christ rise first. I've been to those places where it's been very dry. Man, I've been in those services. I've been in communion services. You know, which one are you thinking? You thinking the same one I'm thinking of? Man, I've been in a communion service before where Brother Owens just sat at the communion table, started speaking in a different language, and something took over. And somebody would say, that's out of order. Because you know what they're more concerned about? The structure. Let me tell you something. When God moves, it ain't never out of order. Can I say it again? When God's moving, it ain't never out of order. Don't mess with the structure. Man, we got to get the wind blowing. Amen? How are we going to do that? We're going to have to start talking to the Spirit. It was you that told me the story, and it stuck with me. I don't even know if I got the details right. So if I mess them up, don't fix it, because it's working really good. About a man being in a struggle, being in a prayer meeting. And I think his dad was the pastor, and he came in, and all he said was, oh, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. And something fell in that room. You ever been there? I remember a pastor's appreciation service where the pastor got up that they were there to appreciate, and all he said was hallelujah. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Was you there? All he said was hallelujah, and it's like, whoa, there's something to this. That's wind over structure. Do we need to have the structure right? Yes. Do you need to have your life right? Yes. Because the more structured, I believe the more wind. Because he was in a valley that was very low, very dry, very many. And something began to happen when he began to prophesy. What is prophesy? Speaking under the influence of the Spirit. But you can't speak under the influence of the Spirit unless you're under the Spirit. You can't do it. You can do more in moments with the anointing than a theologian can in a lifetime of writing unanointed books. Because it's the wind. I was in a bookstore one time. Come on, Aaron. And I picked up a book. I just picked the book up. I said, whew, man, something to this. Bought the book. I still got the book. I read that book a lot. There's stuff in there that has helped me through stuff. There's stuff in there that I have preached and didn't give him any credit for. It didn't come from him anyway. It came from the wind. It came from the Spirit. Was it you last time you went to preach? You said, hey, I stole some of your stuff. I said, man, you can't steal my stuff. Ain't my stuff. Ain't no copyright on this. Why? Because it's not about this. It's about the wind. Now, you can have a good sermon without the wind, but you can have a move of God without the wind. You can have a good song without the wind, but you can't have a mighty army without the wind. Brother Williams, you know why people get nervous about the Spirit? Because they can't control it. And it's the day that you invited your CEO of your company to come to church. And they finally decided to stop by this little storefront and see what was going on. And that's the night, that's the day that the one lady that really gets plugged up when the Spirit hits her gets plugged up. And you're sitting there, oh, Lord. Some of you are laughing because it's happened. You brought your friend. And he's like, oh, goodness, not now. Let's ease them into this. You can't ease people into the wind. The wind blows where it listeth. We just got to be willing to get into place and start prophesying to the wind. How long? How long has your child been in that spot? How long have they been dry? Prophesy to the wind. How long have you been in that state of depression? How long have you been in that state? Prophesy to the wind. How long have you been? How long has it been since you've seen the horizon? Since you had hope? Since there was hope that God was going to do it again? How long has it been? Prophesy to the wind. Can I do that? Can I do? You don't need me to do it. You need to do it. What's going on in your life that you need to speak to? Because I'm going to tell you something about the Spirit. He's ready. When we see the Spirit, the first thing we see the Spirit doing in the Bible is moving. And the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. Guess what he wants to do right now? He wants to move. Man, I've thought about this, and I'm trying to close. How long is it, man? I've thought about this a lot. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, that's awesome. I don't know what language angels speak. I know what they eat. Eddie said they eat angel food cake. I don't know what language. I don't know any other language. The Hickenese. That's about all you know, too. The only difference between you and me is you say your I's different. I say I and you say I. Have you ever noticed that? You do. He said, I do? Man, we're country. I don't know what language angels speak, but I know this, the Spirit knows. And so I'm thinking that Paul would speak in the tongues of angels. Can you imagine this? He's speaking under the inspiration of the Spirit, and angels are like, yes, sir, absolutely. We got to go. He just said this or he said that. He don't even know what he's saying. I think that'd be really cool. But you know what's even cooler than that? I can speak to the Spirit. I don't think we get the gravity of this. You're in trouble? Talk to him. Because let me tell you what manifestation God's moving in right now. It's in the Spirit. It's in the Spirit. He's not creating right now. He's not in the manifestation of Creator. He's not in body right now. He done left out. That body, it went back. He's in manifestation of Spirit. So if you want God to move, you better start saying, Holy Ghost, I need you to move. I need you to move right now. I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble, and I need you to move. Speak to him right now. Speak to him. What do you got going on? Speak to him right now. Speak to him right now. As they sing, just speak to him. Say, God, I'm in trouble. Or God, I need this. God, I need that. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, move. Move, God, move, God, move. Move.